Hey, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I sure wish you could be on with Trent and I before we get started. Sometimes we just sit here and laugh at each other as we're getting started. But you need a little laughter to end the year, right? I mean, that's what this is all about.
That's exactly right.
So today we do want to have some fun because we were reading an article that came out from LinkedIn, and we'll put a link to this in our notes, but Scott Olson at LinkedIn put together some editorial comments on just some predictions of some things that might take place in 2021, and we kind of wanted just to interact with some of our thoughts after reading that article. I think some of those things are fascinating. It certainly appeals to the marketing side and all those things that Trent and I really enjoy. So we hope you'll have a little bit of fun as we wrap up this year. And we're going to try to tie that back into some reflections for the church. But Trent, you got to read through that article. And the first thing was kind of somber because it deals with the pandemic and social distancing. What was it saying about that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big deal still. You know, here we are at the beginning of 2021, and yes, the vaccines have rolled out, two of them have, and there are a lot of people who are getting vaccinated, but it really won't hit the mass public until at least spring break, March, April, May. And so you've got a lot of the year of 2021 still being affected. And so, yes, there is a vaccine. I agree with him, but I don't think social distancing and even mask stuff is going to go away anytime soon. We're still going to have to deal with this. And I was thinking this morning that it is a somber deal that there are still going to be thousands of people that will probably lose their lives at the beginning of this year. And so that's a sad thing. And, we've lost several cities worth of people in the last year. So I think the way he starts off the article, I think that is true.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it's all going to be cherries and roses in 2021. We're going to still fight through this pandemic. I'm hopeful and optimistic that some of the predictions that this is going to linger on for another couple, 3 years is not true. But I do think that at least for the first half of the year, I almost feel like 2021 is set up to be kind of be part A and part B.
Right.
That you're going to get through the summer and then you're going to see a little bit of a different outcome for the second half of the year. That's kind of my thought, but again, I'm not a doctor. Don't deal with vaccines, but it's just kind of a gut feeling that I have in regards to that. And so, yeah, I don't look forward to another 6 months. It's kind of like the groundhog just saw his shadow or something.
Right.
Oh, man. anyway, it's all right. We've actually done some great things this year. I think those things will continue. But, so there's the pandemic, and it's not going away, but it has certainly changed a lot. And probably the place that has changed the most is the workforce.
Yeah, Alan, that I think that's going to be a major change. And, a lot of these things that we talk about, and as we read through this article, you kind of have to extrapolate for where you live, right? Because Alan lives in Colorado. He lives closer to a major metropolitan area than I do. I live in Oklahoma, a small town. And so I think some of these things are going to be different based on where you live. But the workforce has been affected, and people are used to working at home. So, Alan, how is that going to play out in 2021?
Well, one of the things that fascinated me about the article was that my wife took a new job a few months ago. And when she started, they had her working exclusively from home because of the pandemic. And then they brought her back, and they wanted her to work 3 days at home, 2 days in the office, and then have 2 days off. And that appears to be the desired method of employment for many people. Statistics and surveys are showing that the preferred way is 2 days in the office, 3 days at home, and two days off. And I'm like, wow, well, that's exactly kind of what they were doing. And I think that's one of the things that employers are going to try to use with people is to recognize that this is a struggle. The article was saying that the office is going to try to win you back, and how do they win you back? Employers are going to want to hold on to you, and I think what the side benefit to that trend is, you mentioned, we have different certainly different environments. I'm very close to what we call the Denver Tech Center. And they're, you know, I mean, obviously many of those places are geared to work from home. But I think one of the things you're going to see, even in a small town like yours, is people leaving, recognizing, hey, I can make the hour drive to Oklahoma City, right, and go to work 2 days a week and go out and get an acreage somewhere and have a couple cows and, you know, a sheep and a goat and see how they get along.
That's right. Well, and that's already happening. In our area, there are people from larger areas, larger metropolitan areas, that are purchasing land. So that's making home prices and land prices go up. But you're right. I think that's already taking place. And I think that, you know, when those 3 days working in at home or working in the office, however you divide that up, when you are in the office, it's going to be filled with meetings, because those are the times you need to catch up with everybody and be able to work together on some projects. And so I think that's going to be true, and it's going to affect a lot more people than it has in the past.
Yeah, you know, they say that the pandemic has just sped everything up by 10 years. And, you know, that's kind of where people envision the workforce being, say, by 2030 or something like that. And mm-hmm. It's already here. And, you know, now the other thing that you're going to run into, I think, is because people being at home and being with their family, they're reanalyzing their priorities. And because of reanalyzing their priorities, I think you're going to see a lot of people who are tired of the corporate gig, mm-hmm. give up the corporate gig for some kind of smaller gig or an entrepreneurial spirit or doing something that they've always wanted to do versus what they've been doing. And so it's a chance, maybe, I guess we used to call it the rat race, but it's a chance to maybe get out of the rat race a little bit.
But the other side of that, Alan, I think, is that there will always be a need for, there's going to be a need for manufacturing of some sort. You know, I think there will be more manufacturing moved back to the United States, because I think there's going to be a larger distrust of anything coming from overseas because of what's happened in this past year. So there will be manufacturing, and so there's going to have to be some people who are working in that setting. Yeah. But anybody who worked in an office setting, I think you're right, it's going to change. Yeah. All that's going to be sped up, like you said.
Well, and I think the manufacturers are going to are going to be taking a different approach too. Mm-hmm. How do you create a compelling workplace in a manufacturing environment to keep people around? Maybe it's with a little bit longer breaks, mm-hmm. a more interactive break room. What are you going to do about childcare options and things like that when you have odd hours or things like that? I think that's one of the things that manufacturers are going to have to think about a lot. And in places where there's a heavy manufacturing business, I think you're already starting to see that, trying to get creative and maybe catch up to the offices a little bit and some of the perks that they offer. And I think that's important. And that's good for employees.
That's true. You
certainly want to see that.
Yeah, that's true. And so let's think about, how does that affect us if we're working in the church world? That's the changing in schedules, the change in the workplace. That's going to have to affect us in the church setting. And honestly, churches, we're the ones that are always got our heels dug in saying, no, we're not going to change things, and we've got to keep the Sabbath holy. Well,
just like John the Baptist did it.
That's exactly right. Well, I think that it's going to be forced upon us, which it already has been in 2020, that we've, so many changes have been forced upon us. And so I think, you know, I was talking with a friend recently who's a retired pastor, and he said to me that if he was starting a church today, he would have a Monday night worship service, because of, there's so many people that are either traveling, doing stuff on the weekends, or they have to work on Sundays. He would have a Monday night worship service.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a whole lot more creativity with our worship service times. I think you're going to see more churches. One of the things we have on schedule to talk about next month is some terms people may not be aware of. And one of those is a micro church. I think the idea of what we call a micro church is going to become more prominent as a result of some of these things that we're seeing. To kind of just give you an oversimplified version, that might be like having a watch party for your online service with your neighbors. And mm-hmm. so you've got, instead of going to the church service and being with people, you're inviting all your neighbors over, and then you're going to watch the big football game or, you know, do something that day. And so I think we're going to see some changes. And when people are traveling, they want to find a way to connect with their home church, but they'll be connecting virtually and things like that. So a lot of things, it changes everything. I think the other thing, though, that may help is, I think, again, we're seeing people move away from the mega church mm-hmm. to their community church. And I think people are longing for community. They're invested in their communities, and I think they're going to want to be a part of a church in their community. So I think we'll see people not driving as far to the churches that they do choose to visit in person.
Yeah, so the idea of a community church will kind of rebloom, I guess. You're right. The need for community is going to outweigh the show of a larger church. And, you know, the smaller church may not be able to do the show, but the community and the being able to be together, that's going to be a bigger deal in the future. Because, you know, people are going to be either at home or traveling or whatever. And I think families are going to be more transient in the years, you know, 2021, in the years to come, for sure, because they're not going to be tied to a school or a job. So I think people are going to become more transient in that.
Yeah. And it may not be that they sell their house. It may just be that they're gone from their house for longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. You know, that they take the month long vacation that to go stay with grandparents for a month, because they can.
Right.
You know, I think we're gonna see a whole lot of different dynamics that are playing out all over. And don't be surprised if your attendance doesn't pop back to where it was, even when things are fully open. It could be quite different. But again, that's why it's important to make sure you have a good online presence and all those other matters in regards to that. So, you know, the workforce has changed a lot. And you mentioned the family and the housing and all that. And, you know, for large churches, you know, they've got to really center in on the relationship aspect as well, because, you know, there's still a place for the mega church and the large church, even mm-hmm. as the demographics start to move away from them. And the ones that focus well on relationships are going to do well on the other side of this. And a lot of those are in our city areas. And the city areas are the places where all of a sudden there's a lot of empty space. Movie theaters are closing down. Mm-hmm. Malls continue to struggle. Big box stores, as they give way to internet stores. What do you do with all this huge, empty retail space? You've kind of got to subdivide it out and figure out how to put it to use. And one of the things that you're seeing is that becoming a sense of both housing and retail.
Right. And also play space. You know, people are looking for places to get together, and those large open covered places could be for that as well. And so, yeah, I think you'll see some of those malls, which malls were going the way of the dodo bird a long time ago. It's just sped things up, right? And so
right.
This is going to, you may have, we saw churches doing that a long time ago, you know, being in malls but you may also see apartment settings in those areas too. I think that'll be really... And all this, I just keep thinking, okay, churches, we have a tendency to be negative about a lot of this, and we need to be positive, because there's a lot of opportunities in all of these things for us as churches.
Let's think about a mall, for instance. Let's take a typical two-story mall, because so many of them became those two floors. Mm-hmm. So what if the second floor became all housing and the first floor became, you know, retail space, so with restaurants and mom and pop type shops and all those kinds of things. So you've got your coffee shop, you've got all those kinds of things, and then there's that old movie theater stuck on the end of the building or whatever. You put a church there, you've already got an audience to minister to. You've already got a community to minister to, and what a blessing. I mean, so, you know, opportunities are everywhere if we look for those opportunities. Just like in the business world, people are looking for an entrepreneurial spirit. I think as pastors, we've got to kind of embrace our entrepreneurial spirits as well.
Well, think about this too, Alan. If you're a pastor in that setting that you just described, in a mall setting, you not only have maybe the movie theater to be able to show or get people together for a worship service, but you can also do lots of things. You can say, hey, business people, we want to set this up for you guys to come and have your meeting here, presentation here. But you also, you have access to those families all week long. And so you can do some things outside of a worship service. You become, it's almost like the family chaplain with a closer contact than you would have even as a pastor now.
Yeah, I think these little niche spaces like that are going to become more and more prominent as we move forward. And I think probably, you know, at a place like Denver, I think we're going to see more of that move quickly than maybe we're going to see in the Midwest. But I think even more on the West Coast and the East Coast, you're going to see that even faster than we're going to see it here. So a lot of it does depend on where you're at and what's going on. But those things are changing. And so, you know, we're going to continue to see housing change as people try to figure things out. And we still don't know where millennials are going to move to as they enter their prime earning years, mm-hmm. and all those kind of things. Has this pandemic pushed them to want to leave the cities, or has it wanted them to change what they're doing? I think the jury may be out. I think mm-hmm. it's going to kind of be a little bit of everything.
Right. Well, we just don't know because I tell you, the Gen Z and the millennials, they long for the social connection. And so I don't know that they'll leave the larger cities too much, because they also, what restaurants, big internet, and the social connection are important to them, and they're going to stay close to that.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard because I think they kind of want everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of them, you know, they want that sense of, you know, farm to table. Well, yeah. I want to have my own little farm.
Yeah.
I can't have that in the city, so I want to not be in the city. Mm-hmm. But then I want to be close to restaurants and entertainment and friends, and so I need to be in the city. And I think there's that little push pull type thing, and I think we're going to see a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to be really hard to paint people in a corner with that. I think for people who are maybe a little more introverted, maybe that pull to get away will be bigger than it's ever been. But for maybe the extroverted, that pull to stay is going to be stronger. But it's hard to know. I mean, there's a lot of things. I think as churches, we need to be ready. You could mm-hmm. see a mass exodus of some of your brightest techie people in your churches, who are looking for something else. Or you could see an influx of techie people that you've never seen before. And if you get some of those and you're a church like us, either of us who are smaller churches, man, get those folks plugged in.
Absolutely.
Get them serving, because mm-hmm. You know, the technology's not going away, mm-hmm. and we really need to be up on this technology thing. So, you know, there's some other things in that article, Trent, that caught us about leadership. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, one of the things that stuck out to me, Alan, was that he says, and the title of the section is, "For Leaders, Character Will Be Everything." And I think that's true. I think because of what we just talked about, smaller groups, people are going to get to know you better as a leader, that your character is going to show. You're not going to be able to hide behind an office or whatever. You're going to be have to be life on life a whole lot more. And so your character will show, and so your character needs to be strong, especially as a Christian leader. You need to be making sure and working on that and making sure what you believe. They're going to be pressing you on what you believe, and you're going to have to know what you believe.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that go into that. I think, you know, one of the things that was mentioned in the article was moving from micromanagement to macromanagement. Mm-hmm. So no one after this wants to be micromanaged. you know, you've had enough people telling you what to do. Yeah. No one wants to be micromanaged right now.
That's true.
And so you definitely, if you're, and there's a lot of pastors I've met who are micromanagers. Mm-hmm. And that really is not a good way to lead a church. It's not a mm-hmm. good way to lead a staff. People do not want to be micromanaged. You know, you've got to kind of be a big picture person. That fits me well because I'm a visionary type person. You know, so I enjoy the macro managing. But, you know, I think that's something that people need to be aware of, is that if you tend toward being a micromanager, you're in trouble. I think the other thing, though, you know, and I think this one is harder for you and me, probably easier for you than me, but you know, how do we align the gospel with the social causes that the next generations care about, you know, and helping those things line up without going into becoming social gospel, you know, if you're familiar with that term, or, you know, and not just buying everything that you hear in the media, but recognizing that these causes are important. How do you line those up with the gospel? That's a big deal.
It is. And, you know, but again, it's recognizing the opportunity. I don't buy into a lot of the things that I see, you know, and all the global weather changes. I don't buy into that. I think that's cyclical. But at the same time, all that still gives me the opportunity to be life on life and to do discipleship like Jesus did. You know, and the things that we've been talking about, that I can be able to have that time with some of those techie people that I may not have gotten a chance to be around before. And yeah, they may start out believing, you know, way different than I do, but that doesn't mean I can't have a relationship with them. That doesn't mean I can't tell them about Jesus.
You know, and let's not devalue people's causes either. I mm-hmm. mean, right? I mean, if it's important to them, you know, mm-hmm. and we are empathetic people, then it should be an important cause to us. We may not agree even on the cause, but we need to be sensitive to the cause. And you know, there's some things out there that we may not like always how a cause is wrapped, right. But the cause is important, you know. And certainly racial equality is an important issue, you know, and it's one that as people of faith, racial equality should always be something that we're conscious of and we're fighting for and we're encouraging,
yeah.
You know, and we don't always have to like how things are wrapped or how they're presented, but mm-hmm. the cause itself is certainly one that we should stand for strongly. And so I think just pretending like these causes don't matter to people is a real mistake if we're going to reach a generation.
I think, yeah, people are going to become stronger in their determination to make those things happen. You mentioned racial equality, and man, the church should be the people that are standing up for that more than anybody, because Jesus died for everybody. There's no first in line at the cross is what a current Christian song says. Man, I'm all for that, and I can stand by anybody who, you know, wants to make sure that everybody is held as with the same esteem as a human being, you know, that we're all have that equality and that. So I can stand with anybody, and I think that opens some doors for us if we're willing to say that. I think that opens some doors for us to talk about what Jesus said and how he lifted up women more than any other religious leader of the time and since then.
Yes, I mean, I think all those causes are extremely important, and I think not only our words but the actions and how we approach those things. You know, I see a lot of pastors just being super defensive. This mm-hmm. is not a time to be defensive. This is a time to be wise and be smart. We should be smart with our words mm-hmm. and be choice with our words. And we're certainly not perfect with it. We're trying to get better with it. But I love that we're able to talk about it. And I would encourage pastors and leaders, mm-hmm. find someone to talk through some of these issues before you talk about them with others as well.
Yeah.
Get some other perspectives.
Well, and Alan, I wanted to say, along with what you just said, that I would encourage, remember, good leaders ask good questions. And so I would encourage pastors to ask some questions of what you just said, Alan. Hey, tell me, get with some of your young people, some of your Gen Z millennials in your church, or people that are just around in social circles, and ask them what's important to them and why, and just be a listener. I tell you what, that goes so far, and it opens up doors for them then to want to hear from you. You know, the movies, The Karate Kid, that's the idea I see, you know, the young person wanting to learn. Yeah, wax on, wax off. That's exactly right. You know, but you get those opportunities to be with people and in that kind of setting. And the more that we're willing to listen to them, the more that they'll let us speak into their lives.
That's exactly right. Because, you know, we go back to something John Maxwell said, that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing mm-hmm. less. And I think one of the reasons it was important to bring this to people today, and one, we just wanted to have a kind of a lighthearted conversation based on an article we were able to read, but these are heavy things, really. I mean, mm-hmm. when you think about the consequences of all those things, and what kind of influence are we going to be in 2021? Are we going to be a positive influence for God's kingdom? Are we going to be a negative influence? We're influencers one way or another. And my hope for all of us is that we be a positive influence for God's kingdom and what God wants to see happen in the lives of our churches and our communities.
That's right. And remember that God is opening up mission fields. We, you know, as churches, we talk about missions. And by golly, He's opening up mission fields right at our door. And so this is great opportunities for us in the future. And so Alan and I, we hope that you will join us on the journey of 2021. And believe me, it will be a journey. It may be an exciting journey. I think it will be. We're not prophets. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. But we do want to be encouragers in all of this. We want to come alongside you. And Alan, I know that we want to help pastors and church leaders to grow.
That's right. We are here to walk alongside you, and we plan to walk alongside you in 2021. So please make sure you like our video or our podcast. Make sure you send us your ideas of what you'd like to see us talk about this year, and let us know how we can come alongside you. You can also reach out to us, Alan@EnduringChurches.Consulting or Trent@EnduringChurches.Consulting. We would love to come alongside you. We can help you and your church thrive in 2021, and that's certainly our heart. So anyway, we want to thank you for joining us. We have had a surprisingly unique 2020. Yeah. And our next episode's going to throw us into the ravages of a brand new year, and we look forward to that. We've got a lot of good stuff in store for you. So thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to catching you next year.